And hello, friends. It's Jerry Prosen with another podcast, podcast number 8 in our series, The Way It Is. And today we've got probably the mother of all podcasts in the series, if you will, The End Times. We're covering the end times as best as we can. It's going to be a little bit longer podcast today, because of the nature of the topic is so, there's so much content involved. So please join us and please stay with us wherever you are, whatever time of day or night it is. I want to begin with a very key scripture here. I'm just going to read it. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. They'll follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from the demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. Many key scriptures. Another important scripture is going to be coming up in a minute, but we'll be talking about some of the characteristics of the end times to verify, in fact, we are in these end times, what to expect next. And it's very important to stay on topic and stay in the Bible, because many people have veered off and come up with their own conclusions, and it doesn't really matter what men think. For 2 Thessalonians says that let no man deceive you by any means, for the day that shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin revealed the son of perdition. And who's that son of perdition? It's the Antichrist, of course. So many people have taken that scripture, and I hate to say it, but some of these, and this is why I have this screen on here, the Left Behind crowd. Now, here's the important thing. 80% of the scriptures have already been fulfilled, and 98% of them are going to be fulfilled in these very last days. So we have some exciting things to see. But that scripture that I share with you in 2 Thessalonians talks about that none of these things will happen until the falling away takes place, and that son of perdition, the Antichrist, will first make his appearance. Now, they use that to justify the rapture of the church, but really, is that signifying the rapture of the church, or is that really the start of the 7 years of tribulation that we know as Jacob's trouble? Now, people wonder, why is it called Jacob's trouble? Well, Israel is another name for Jacob. When he was given his Hebrew name, it was Israel, because he had given God so much trouble. He had been so stubborn all his life. And so it became Jacob's trouble. And in fact, it was 7 years in Egypt that took place. And if you remember, there was 3.5 years of feast and then 3.5 years of famine. And this is why it parallels so well with the time of Jacob's trouble. And there you see the 3.5 years of tribulation that will be the cutoff point. It will begin actually with 3.5 years where the Antichrist doesn't seem like a bad fellow at all. In fact, he'll make a covenant, not really a peace treaty, but a covenant with Israel, and then he will turn on Israel. They'll think they have their man-made Messiah that they've been waiting for, Mashiach, but he's a false Messiah, and he'll turn on them, and then, of course, he'll turn on the church, the tribulation saints. So, are we going to tell you when the rapture takes place? Not necessarily. We'll look at some scenarios, but I guarantee you one thing, that no one person knows, because as scripture says, not even Yeshua, Jesus, that's Jesus in Hebrew, knows, but only the Father knows. So that's the exact time frame. You can look at all the people coming up with Revelation 13 signs, saying all the stars and constellations are lining up, and all that is very, very interesting. But is it truly biblical? And what are the dangers of following the astronomical indicators, if you would, versus following the scriptures and the Word of God? You're seeing a lot of screens come by. We purposely set up these podcasts for very important content to repeat itself. Today is no exception, because there's so many indicators to reveal that we are in these end times. That's why today's show, or podcast, pardon me, is of the length that it is in. And it my challenge, of course, is to stay on topic with you and speak into some of these slides as well, so that you have a sense of where we are. And the church age, as you see on your screen now, is coming to an end. The tribulation period is upon us, very, very, very close to that time. We're near the ending of what was initially called the beginning of sorrows and the birth pains. Just like a woman in travail or pregnant, the labor pains increase more and more, so too does these indicators of these birth pains of the beginning of sorrows. And what does that look like? Well, that would look like earthquakes in diverse places, and famines, as you read, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs in the heavens in Luke 21:11. And these are, again, all indicators that we are indeed late into the end times. And as you can see, there is going to be a pattern of things happening. The Middle East peace treaty will be needed to be signed. The temple will need to be set up, the third temple. And of course, that's right now they're saying, you know, is that really the Temple Mount? Some people speculate, no, it's where David was actually, David's tomb was built. That is where the actual temple should be, the third temple. The heifer, the important red heifer, was actually born a number of years ago, so they've got the proper animal or livestock, if you would. That was very, very important. And there you see 777, not 666, but seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bulls, all during the 7 years of tribulation. This particular slide says the rapture of the church takes place before the tribulation. I guess I would say I was pre-trib for the longest time. I'm not, because of the Left Behind films or any of those kinds of ideas, and not because I like the idea that we didn't have to go through the tribulation. It wasn't based on emotion or anything like that. It just, at the time, it seemed to make sense, until I believe God got a hold of me and spoke to my heart and showed me throughout the course of the history of the Bible that God, the way he works, is he doesn't take us out of the fiery furnaces that Daniel and Meshach and Abednego and they had all been through, and so many cases of Noah went through the flood. They went through it, but God took them through it, and God protected them from the fires. I believe that either the Lord will take us out midway through the tribulation, or we will go through the entirety of the tribulation. And I also base that on the fact that there is no explicit passage, despite the attempts to present a passage that show clearly that there's going to be a rapture of the church, other than the final rapture, where there's the meeting in the air, the capture all the God's saints in the air to meet the Lord upon his return. But we'll get into that a little bit more. You're seeing a lot of slides come by saying, what is it with the lions and the bears and the leopard with the wings? These are the beasts and the kingdoms to come that will work under the Antichrist empire. And it really is an empire. Some say, of course, it's the revival of the Roman Empire. And certainly that plays a major role in that. And some say, well, that's not the where the beast will rise from. Well, first of all, it's rising from the sea, which is the masses, the population, not actually a physical sea. But these end time indicators, where so many of the things you see, so many of the slides of what's going on in the world, all these mass drownings of whales and different creatures. A few years back, it was so many birds dying around the world. Fish just coming up in tens of thousands, if not millions. Of course, there's always been speculation and talk of a World War III. It seems like it's quite imminent. It never seems to go away. So that has definitely been a strong indicator that, in fact, as the screen says, we are living in these last days. Does God want us to be fearful? Does God want us to be afraid? Of course not. Jesus told us all these things so that we would not be dismayed. Why was that so important? He wanted us to be a testimony. Here are a few of the end time signs, and there's so many. Natural disasters and hurricanes and things of that nature. Man-made disasters, very strange things in the heavens, all kinds of belief systems that are more hedonistic and pagan, the return of paganism and Gnosticism and the occults, very strong, leaning towards the occultic beliefs of Satanism. These are all clear indicators that we are, in fact, in these end times. And you're going to see Luke 21:11 come up a number of times to reinforce the fact that earthquakes are increasing in their velocity. Well, velocity, it's not really velocity, but in their frequency. And there's other indicators here, just the rise of, hate to say it, but what we saw with Sodom and Gomorrah, and what we see with transgenderism and transhumanism, and the turning away from God's image, what he created, to a satanic image. And isn't it interesting that Scripture says that man worshipped the image of the beast? Well, he's already doing that because he's worshipping himself. He's worshipping the image that he sees forward. He doesn't want to be a man or a woman. He wants to be transgender. This is a satanic. When I say satanic, if you're listening and you are transgender, perhaps homosexual, this is not an attack against you. What we're talking about is a bigger picture that involves what we call the spirit of the Antichrist. And I know it can be very offensive for someone to talk and say, "Oh, you're satanic," and that. We're not. We're talking about a movement that is not of the flesh. It's of principalities and the power of the air. It's of Satan. And unfortunately, as I mentioned before, there's so much content. Matthew 24 came by. That screen will come back again, and we'll talk about the importance of knowing exactly the earmarks of these end time prophecies and what they mean for you. I think most of us would agree that we are deep into the last days. As I just mentioned a moment ago, the spirit of the Antichrist, what does that look like? Well, when we have the treadmarks of the Antichrist's presence, it just opens up the doors for his appearance on the global stage. And this person, this individual, in the personage of the flesh, the false counterfeit Messiah, who will become fully possessed by Satan, will take counter stage, will come in as a lamb, speaking like a lamb, but will be roaring like a lion. In other words, really underneath that false pretense, that false disguise, will be this tenacious beast that will tear away at everything and everyone in demand to be worshipped by God. And the abomination of desolation is that when he is in the temple wanting to be worshipped and commits sacrifice, unfitting of God, and very satanic. So 2 Peter says that, knowing this first and foremost, that coming in the last days, scoffers walking over their own lusts. And Jesus said there will be many mockers and scoffers before he comes back, and they've always been there, haven't they? We will see in the book of Revelation, and we'll probably have to devote a whole podcast to the book of Revelation, if not a series of podcasts, the two witnesses of the book of Revelation, whether it be Moses and Elijah or Enoch, who walked with God, and Moses. There's speculation, who are the two witnesses? One thing that can't be disputed is what the impact of those two witnesses are, and we'll try to allude to that again today if we can. Israel certainly plays a major role in end times, and definitely we want to keep an eye on Israel. And the key, of course, was when the nation of Israel was recognized as a nation, when the people of the true Jewish backgrounds and the roots, the lost tribes of Israel, came back to the homeland of Israel, and the actual flag was raised, then we knew that the fig tree had been born. And in Matthew 24, here it is again: we shall hear wars and rumors of wars. And then Jesus is telling us, do not be troubled, for all these things have to come to pass, as prophecy has mentioned. And of course, we always do have wars and rumors of wars. And that will continue on, not just the Third World War, but the Battle of Gog and Magog. And I know we're throwing a lot of things at you. So today we're going to try to make sense of how to recognize that we are in these end times, which I think is the easiest part of the whole thing. I was going to say that, putting it out to you, the audience, I think you'd have a hard time proving it wasn't the end times as opposed to the end times, just by what you're seeing daily unfold in the world news. Just the way there's so much treachery, there's so much deception, there's no one knows anymore whether they're hearing false news or real news. Certainly they're not hearing the good news. It's the good news is being preached, but the world is trying to drown out that message as best it can, because it's in enmity with God. And always has been, and the two do clash. Another thing we hear today is, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming, the second coming of the Son of Man. And this is actually a clip from an actual film, and I just included it because of the subject matter, talking about fallen angels and coming deceptions. We've actually addressed some of these in some of the JCCS Presents videos, talking about the fallen angels and how they will play a role in deceiving mankind, if those who are not having discernment, to know that these so-called beings of light and illumination are nothing more than satanic beings. And of course, coming with all that territory is the false Christs and the false prophets. I can't remember this gentleman's name, but I believe he's Russian, and because he looks, at least to some, like the Jesus that the world has portrayed and believed to be Jesus, that he has to be Christ because he says he is, and people are running to and fro, following these false Christs. Now, there's President Obama, and there's Pope Francis, and Obama keeps on coming back over and over again. Interesting fellow, former president, Some still speculate he'll take that role at the UN, and he will rise from a different area of the world to claim his position. He certainly has an interesting background that is very mysterious, beginning with birth certificates that just don't seem to acknowledge his true identity, and there's so much behind that. So I'm not going to tell you that Obama is the Antichrist and Pope Francis is the false prophet, but it is interesting to see how some of these particular individuals have more characteristics similar to the descriptions that the Bible has of the Messiah, the false Messiah, pardon me, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. So here's the thing that everybody wants to know. How close are we? Well, I would say, as far as end times go, we're in them. We're actually in them. So the real question is, when does the actual tribulation period begin? Because we are in the days of Noah, when the earth was filled with violence and man just did whatever wickedness was in his heart and everything that he held on to. And so we are very much in these end times, and the screen's about to come up in a minute here that will really show that that we are into these end times. Abortion, hedonism, sexual immorality of all sorts. We mentioned transgenderism, not to single out just on that, but just the things that have just increased to the level of absolute insanity. Just look at the rise of child pornography. Now, some say, no, they're just doing a better job of identifying child pornographers. I would say, okay, that may be the case, but it definitely is and has been increasing. The stories of predators in the church and particularly of the Catholic faith. What is it about the Catholic faith, and not just the Catholic faith, and I'm picking on our Catholic friends, because in so-called Christian churches, there's been many predators there too. So it's this goes again above and beyond anything of any scope. It's not targeting a particular belief system or even what your sexual preference is. It's an all-encompassing satanic experience, and it's the rise of the Antichrist spirit beckoning forth the coming of the Antichrist, who many believe, and I do too, that he's already on the world stage. He's been groomed for this time period to step in, and perhaps he'll be the one that provides the remedy for COVID-19, as you see on your screen. Maybe he'll be the savior for all kinds of different plagues and pestilences that are upon this world, because that was another indicator of what we're looking at in these end times. So there's the two witnesses, as you can see, blowing the shofar, the horns, to indicate that the time has drawn near, and that is a very exciting thing for us as our redemption draws nigh. It means you get getting closer to the time when we will be fully redeemed. But for some, it will be a time of incredible terror, as you're about to see a slide come up of a woman that is screaming in torment because of these beliefs that some of these cell towers are sending out frequencies that are driving people mad. There's been decades going by with people complaining about these insane hums and frequencies that only certain people can hear, and they never go away, and it drives them insane. All kinds of strange and disturbing events taking place. not just in the Western Hemisphere, in the US or Canada, but around the world. Remember those strange noises that people were hearing a couple years back? Nobody could identify it. Some said it was just the plates of the Earth, the tectonic plates reshifting. But what? Why was that happening? Never before, like we heard those strange, eerie sounds, sounding like there was really coming from the heavenlies, like there was some kind of major preparation of sorts to take place. There's that screen again, the seven seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, all revealing that the time for the second coming is the rapture. In fact, in the Bible, explicitly stated, or is it man-made? And I would have to tell you that I don't think God ever wanted the rapture to be such a major distraction as it is. So, 2 Peter 3, 3, 4 has indicated that we would know partly when God would be preparing for this such a time as this, and it's when many people have fallen asleep, as 2 Peter indicates, that in fact we're living in that time of deception. Where people believe things are just going to continue on like this indefinitely because they don't believe in prophecy. Certainly, they don't believe in what God is letting us know clearly through the signs and wonders and the fearful sights that are going to be appearing, meteorites from the heavenlies, all kinds of strange lights. People call UFOs, which, as we've discussed before, Satan appears as an angel of light, and a lot of those lights are very deceptive as far as what they indicate, and they're leading some people to believe that these are benign creatures that are really going to reveal that they're either our creators or they're our saviors to help us with the world and the global warming that's taken place, and the massive pollution, and that we're responsible for all the pestilences. But 2 Thessalonians 2 says that no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and this man of sin revealed, the son of perdition, and who he's going to exalt himself as God and demand to be worshipped as God. As we mentioned, that is the Antichrist. And he will declare that he is God, and he will have an image made that you will have to bow down to. And he'll have a number of the beast, which we're told is 666, the number of a man. So you can see where the humanism movement is moving towards the worship of the beast, the worship of man. And that is where transhumanism and transgenderism, that's where it indicates it truly is satanic, because it's going to lead to this worshiping of the beast. We're already in that beast systems. We have the tracking mechanisms in place for global tracking with the satellites, that every single person's whereabouts and what they're doing on the internet and the IP addresses can be all flagged. As you know, Google Analytics has been using for years all your watching and viewing habits to indicate and find out where your interest lies, so they can anticipate where you will like to shop and buy from, and eBay and everywhere else. It's all there. Here's Revelation 13, 15. He had the power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak and cause many to worship it, and those who didn't would be killed. Well, that speaks some things to some type of a technology that we have already, a holographic type technology, Project Bluebeam. What is Project Bluebeam? It's a way to portray as close as possible a 3D, even some may suggest 4D reality upon an actual not an abstract, but make something look appear that is not even there through a laser technology and many many tests were run over the years. It was big in Asia, and Japan had really done a lot of work in some other different countries. In fact, stories emerged years ago that they used this technology during the Gulf War period, somewhere around that time frame in the Middle East, to portray pictures of, or not pictures, but images of Jesus to the Arab, their enemies, and to bring fear into them by portraying a Jesus type image into the skies. And we've seen them do all kinds of things with this Project Bluebeam technology. We haven't even seen the scope of it. So, is that going to really, really happen? The technology is there. The times are very deceptive. Would you put it past that being utilized if it meant a false invasion, a UFO invasion, an alien invasion? How about the craziness of COVID? You just saw the screen come up, the end of these things, and where what will be the end game for the COVID? For then shall there be great tribulation, such as since the beginning of the world to this time, no ever shall be, in Matthew 24:21. Yes, the world has never seen anything like the Great Tribulation, nor will it ever again. And if it wasn't for God sparing the very elect, no life would be spared at all. And look at the satanic world we live in. It's not just heavy metal album covers, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Jesus kept on letting us know over and over again about these warnings that would indicate these birth pains that we talked about at the top of the show, these famines and these earthquakes, that was just the start of the beginning of sorrows. So there is a timeline here that clearly shows where everything is going to be. Again, I don't necessarily agree about where the rapture is put in front of the tribulation. That's pre-trib rapture belief system. And the problem I have with that is, who's going to be on the earth as a testimony to God during that time of the 7 years? There certainly will some come to the faith, of course, but it's also very, very important that we realize that God has a plan for each and every one of us. Yes, there will be 144,000 virgins from Israel that will be very, very powerful ambassadors for Christ, and there will be the two witnesses. We're going to talk more about these signs of these end times when we come back in just 35 seconds. So join us, won't you? This is Jory Prosen with podcast number 8, The Way It Is, These Are the End Times. Join us. CCS presents, and this is podcast number 8. I can't believe it. So glad to have you here. We're covering a fascinating topic called the end times. We've got a couple slides here, some scripture, because we talked about the needing to stay with the scriptures. Again, 1 Timothy 4:1-2 sets it up that in these last days, the Holy Spirit is telling us that very deceptive spirits and teachings of demons will be upon us, and that we should be staying clear of them because they're hypocrites, and they're going to lead you astray with deceptions. And I think this is one of the most troubling things about living in these end times, is the degree of deception that is upon us. It is preparing us. And why we need to know that nothing is going to happen until that, and that day shall not come. What is the day? The day of the Lord, not of the rapture of the church, but the man of perdition, the son of perdition, pardon me, will exalt himself and call himself God. And this is that really great slide, not the Left Behind film project, but I couldn't help but put this one in. 80% of the prophecies of the 1800 prophecies in the Bible, well, there's only 13% left, so 98% of those prophecies will come to pass during the tribulation period alone. Take a look at some of these indicators, if you would. Now, you can say, oh, they've always been here. People have always been boastful, proud, blasphemers, slanderers. They've always been there. But to the level and degree that we see before us in this day and age, is America at the end? Is America today's modern Babylon? It certainly fits the bill. When you speak of decadence, just the fact that what America, what it stands for nowadays to some, is certainly not the America that many people remember and are so proud to defend, and life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Joel speaks of the day of the Lord as well, the sun itself turning into darkness and the moon into blood. Now, these blood moons, they've always been there, and there's a scheduling of when these blood moons take place. Some have really gone a little bit astray with the blood moons, and they've got involved with time and dating actual, I guess, what the blood moons would indicate according to the Jewish feast days and thy holy days. And the danger with that, again, is naming dates, naming the exact time when they believe the rapture of the church will take place, naming the exact time when the day of the Lord will begin, the tribulation, and all these things. So Daniel, the screen that we just saw, Daniel 8:14, is a really good way to take a look at these 2300 days, these 7 years, and really break them down. We really encourage you here to be like the Bereans, to study the Word of God, rightfully divide it, and see for yourself, as Isaiah 42 says, the former things have come to pass, and these revelations, these signs, are indicators that we are in these end days. So you have the rebirth of Israel that is in Isaiah 66. The Jews have returned home. And then, of course, the deceptions and the earthquakes, the days of Noah. We talked about COVID and the famines and the pestilences that have been upon this earth for a long time, but increasing with frequency. Yes, world, wake up to the fact. God is trying to get your attention. God wants to wake you up and make you realize that He is coming back soon for His bride. And regardless of when you think that rapture, I know it's on all these timelines, regardless whether you think the rapture is going to be just after the church age comes to an end and the tribulation period begins, the preparation that you need to do to get your house in order with God is now. For today is the day of salvation. We are not promised tomorrow. And this is what God laid on our hearts here at JCCS Presents. To make this end times not a declaration of telling people when the rapture takes place, but the signs that Jesus let us know about of the times, that we would be ready for it and prepared to meet our Maker. Because who knows who's going to survive the tribulation? Many, Scripture says, many will die at the hands of the Antichrist. We know that the guillotine will make its reappearance, and beheadings have already been taking place and have been taking place for many, many years with the Middle East and ISIS, of course. And there's a whole supernatural, satanic underlying of ISIS and what that means. If you study religions, you know where that ISIS really comes from, and the backing of it, where that would be as far as, I guess, another indicator of the last days, really, without going into any great detail. Here's all 10 D's. Everything is in a D. Deceptions, dissensions, devastations, diseases, disasters, death, disloyalty. You can read it for yourself. Delusions, defections, declarations. Scriptures are matched up there, so you might want to review that again. All these things to happen when God's wrath is poured out on the earth. Yes. You say, well, why is God a God, God is love, but he's still pouring out his wrath upon the earth? Because he needs to remedy, he needs evil to destroy itself, which is what the Antichrist really ultimately does. And apocalypse and Armageddon has to take place so the world can be purged of the wickedness that is upon it. And God's letting evil destroy itself, but that is not the end of it. God's enemies will still be on the earth, and those who hate God, and he will have to he will come back, and he'll declare war upon his enemies, and he'll cast them out. There's Daniel 9:27 talking about the sacrifice, the abomination of desolation that we were talking about in the first half, about what happens when the Antichrist enters the temple and he commits the abomination of desolation. Now, it's interesting, some of that has already taken place in part with some previous events with the temples, but this one is still very much forthcoming and a strong indicator that we have not come into that time frame, that a lot of other things still have to unfold before we see Daniel 9:27 being fulfilled. And I do apologize for jumping around a little bit. It's staying the course is very, very much imperative in dealing with Bible prophecy, but and eschatology, as it's called, the study of things to come. But very, very important, particularly when we're dealing with these end times. In Hosea 4:3 says, the land shall mourn, and those who dwell in it will languish, because the beasts of the fields and the fowls of the air and the fishes of the sea will be taken away. Well, doesn't that sound like what we've been experiencing? We discussed all these animals being washed ashore. The whales have been beached now for decades, it seems. It seems like a month doesn't go by where you don't read about that happening. And it's a real tragedy, but it's definitely a sign that we are in these last days, that the very earth itself is in mourning and it's groaning for redemption. And the earth is tainted with sin, the sins of man, because of the fall from grace. There's that screen. I promised you I would put it back on again because you're only seeing it for 30 seconds or so, or 20 seconds, pardon me. There's the strange sounds and the strange lights in the sky. We're seeing flashes of lights and solar flares from the sun and those strange sounds that we were talking about in the first half here around the world. Ominous sounds. What are they? Many have tried to justify what those sounds are, but Scripture tells us that in those last days we would be hearing that. In fact, we have been. And there you see some of the players, other Obama's in there, Putin is there, Russia will play a role, of course, so will China, so will the Middle East, and of course Israel will be the focus, the cup of trembling, the burdenstone for the world, what to do with Israel. And there you see the persecuted church there, those unfortunate people who got beheaded. We see the types of activities that are taking place that indicate abortion and all kinds of I hate to say it, but a satanic types of activities that indicate that we are in the days of Noah. So are we living in the time of the end? Scripture seems to indicate that is the situation, that the seals are slowly going, they're slowly being opened. And as the screen says, if you don't see these signs, the one world religion being built right before your eyes, and all the crazy things that are happening around the world, then you must be sleeping. Matthew 24, 8, 10, and 14, these are the beginning of sorrows that we were talking about. Who's he talking about here? They shall be delivered, you shall be delivered up and afflicted and shall be killed. And you'll be hated for all nations for my name's sake. And Scripture says very clearly that all who live righteously and holy for Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, how is that to happen if the church is removed? Where is the salt of the earth? Well, it has to have its testimony. Some say, well, that which letteth is removed out of the way. Is that the church? They say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. If you take out all the church, then all you have nothing really letting it. Well, we know that there will be a time when the presence of God will not be as it is in this day and age, as the church age comes to a close. The period of grace certainly has changed, and now man will come to God through the shedding of blood through persecution, and it's not an act so much as it is the fact that if you've been given an opportunity to come to Christ before his coming again, then that was the period of grace that God has put before you. But God will always be merciful, always, regardless of where we are on the timeline of the tribulation. People will still come to Christ. But Scripture is very, very important to know, to indicate where we are and what we can expect. And am I saying the tribulation is going to be a cakewalk? Of course not. There's never been anything like it on the face of the earth, and there never will be again. The level of violence, the level of bloodshed, just the level of just one terrible thing after the next. And are these scare tactics that we're using here? Or are we talking the truth of what Scripture already reveals about these end times? We don't need scare tactics because the world is scary enough a place as it is. We live in a age now where we have to have social distancing because we don't know who's got what, who's sick with what. We have to wear masks. We don't know when COVID will go away, and if it does, eventually will something else take its place? Uncertain times. But the one certainty that continues on is God's love for us, as you see those angels eventually leading the way as Christ makes his reappearance once more. I'm going to have come up on the screen again Matthew 24, 6 to 8, not to be redundant, but very, very important. You're hearing the same things again and again, so it's drilled forward to you that nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. What is this? These are the beginnings of sorrows. Well, we're deep into that period of time, deep. So the question really comes, when does the tribulation begin? When does that actually begin? And key indicators are in place to reveal when the Son of Man is ready to take the stage, center stage, and the falling away, which is well in place right now, of the false church, the world church, and the ecumenical rise of the one world religion that we know to be called Mystery Babylon, which you see coexist, that we should all be tolerant of one and another's religion, which sounds beautiful. It sounds like a John Lennon song, doesn't it? But that's a really Antichrist song, actually, even though the world thinks it's the most beautiful song. Imagine, it's imagining a world without God, because there's no religion, and not that God is about religion, but what he's saying, no God, we don't need God, we just need humanism, we just need to believe and imagine in ourselves. And unfortunately, he being John Lennon, was a devout believer in humanism, and was very interested in Aleister Crowley. Of course, Crowley being a very satanic figure himself. So you can see where these belief systems, where their origins are from, and who is behind the helm of propagating these belief systems. And we need to turn to God. I guess that's really the most important takeaway from here. Yes, it's important to know that the signs of the times, of course. But as we said at the top of the show, that, or the podcast, pardon me, that it's pretty self-evident where we are as far as these times. Now, God wants to get hold of you. God wants to wake you up. God wants to shake you out of your slumber and make you realize you need to get your house in order. Perhaps if you're living in some kind of sinful state that you haven't repented of, don't wait to the last minute. The last minute might be far, far too late. There's the birth pains, you see. There's the great tribulation. And the rapture of the church will take place when Christ comes back. The day of the Lord will begin. That's God's wrath and the pouring out. The seven seals will be opened and the seven bowls will be poured out. And you will see that happen before your eyes. Here's that scripture. If the Lord has not cut short those days, no one would be alive and no one would survive. For the sake of the elect, who's the elect? Those are God's people. Those are those who have accepted Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Those are the ones that the Lord is coming back for, his children, and to right the wrongs and make everything right again. if he didn't cut short those days. And some say, well, that's the rapture of the church, my friend. No, that's God's grace and that's God's mercy to come back at the appropriate time because of the devastation of the world, letting man do what he does best, which is unfortunately destroy himself and destroy others, especially when the Holy Spirit is restrained. So it's a very, very wicked world we live in. It's the days of Noah. They're here now. The world is full indeed of violence. And it's quite tragic. But this world needs to be redeemed. God will create new heavens and a new earth. And from the ashes of this tragedy will arise God's restoration. But before that happens, God's restoration has to begin inside you. Maybe not yourself, maybe someone else close to you, perhaps someone you're married to, perhaps a family member. If you already accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior, what about your fellow workers, co-workers? What about the guy, the neighbor down the street? What about that homeless person that you pass by every day with a great degree of indifference, or because you feel like it's just too much for you to deal with? Whoever it is God lays on your heart to share the gospel with. Or perhaps it is you. Perhaps you need to come clean with God. That's where restoration truly takes place. And that's where God can do his greatest work, beginning first and foremost with you. So do not be dismayed. Do not be afraid. Are these things terrible and horrifying, what will come upon this earth? Of course. If you read the book of Revelation and you're not a believer in Christ and you're not trembling with fear of what will come upon this world with those seals opened and those bowls of wrath being poured upon this earth, it is beyond a nightmare. But it's not God's desire to leave you in fear. It's fear and trembling, and fear itself is the beginning of wisdom. What is the wisdom? It's the wisdom to realize that God is at the helm and God is in control, not man. That God has your best desires in place to help you, not to hurt you, not even to send you to hell. God wants to have a relationship with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, God is calling to you today. And we're not here to preach or anything like that, but we'd be remiss to miss that opportunity to have you share the gospel, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and to let his grace and mercy and forgiveness take hold of you today and restore you. If you're backslidden, if you've been living in sin, come clean today. Come clean to the Lord. Get right so that when the Lord comes, your redemption draws nigh. You're looking up. You're not ashamed. Because let's face it, if you're living in sin, you know about it. The Lord knows about it. We're not fooling anyone, are we? So it's not really about when the rapture takes place or whether the rapture is real, the secret rapture. We have to be careful, because you don't want to take your foot off the gas pedal when it comes to living for Christ. The best thing you can do is persevere. Fight the good fight of faith, as Paul says. and press on for the high mark of the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, because many will have fallen asleep. So do not walk after your own lusts. Follow the Lord. Listen to the Lord's Holy Spirit. Read the Word of God. Continue to pray and meditate and stay in the Word. And the Lord will keep you strong when you're feeling weak, when you're feeling discouraged, when this world is getting to you it's just too much to deal with, too much to bear. Never forget, God is there for you, to comfort you. He's the God of all comfort, and He sends us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to help us get through these difficult, dark times. Yes, without God, there is no the hope, and discouragement just takes over. We drowned in this discouragement. Where is the hope? The blessed hope is the Lord Jesus. He's here to help you get through these difficult times and all these things you see on your screen that will take place. The Great Tribulation, Armageddon, well before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We purposely today wanted to talk in generalities. Perhaps you might be disappointed that we didn't speak about specifics of this is the indication that we're in the sixth seal here and the fourth seal there. We want you to be aware of the times that we're living in so that you can prepare yourself spiritually for the Lord's return. We know that we're heading for the Great Tribulation. What day it starts, we don't know. We know that we're deep into this time of sorrows and the birth pains that were laid out long ago, decades ago, in fact. So with that being in mind, the answer is yes. Are we living in the end times? Absolutely yes. What, my friend, and I call you my friend because I care about you. I don't know you. You don't know me. That doesn't matter. I care about you and I care about your spiritual condition. Regardless what religion you believe in, or if you're an atheist, an agnostic, it doesn't really matter. I care about you. God cares about you even more. God wants the best for you. And the best is what God has to offer you in the form of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what are you to do with this information? Said, oh, nice, okay, this YouTube video comes to an end. I don't care anymore. Doesn't really matter. It's just another YouTube video. It's just a podcast. What does this guy know about? This guy doesn't even know me. You're right. You would be absolutely right. I don't know you, but I know one who does. God knows you. God knows every hair on your head. And God knew you before the foundation of the world. He said, how can that? That's God. We can't comprehend the things of God, so let's stop trying to do that. The beginning of where it all starts is acknowledging that God is at the helm and God knows what He's doing. Nothing is happening randomly. The world wasn't created randomly. These events aren't happening randomly. They may seem like chaos is in control, and when the tribulation begins, it'll seem like the Antichrist is in control, but he is on a leash. God is holding the leash. The Antichrist can only do, and Satan can only do what God allows to be done. And what God is planning to do is let evil destroy itself. That's what Armageddon is about. That's what the Third World War will be about. That's what the Gog and Magog is about, that particular battle. all these things. And the takeaway from them all is 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. What are you watching? You're watching the signs of the times, the indicators that your redemption draws nigh, and that the end times is coming up, and that the great tribulation is at hand. So, today, not tomorrow, right now, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to leave that with you, because that's between you and God. I don't know you. I don't know what religion you are from, if you have any religion, if you believe in anything, if you're struggling to believe that God even exists. I'll leave that with you and God. But some kind of way that I can, I will pray for you, whoever you are. Because I care about you, and God cares about you so much more. So, as Matthew 24:6-8 says, if you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see to it that you are not alarmed or dismayed, because these things have to happen. The end is still to come. It's not over yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Famines and earthquakes will take place. These were all the beginnings of birth pains. You know where we are. You can see it. Now it's time to believe it, embrace it, accept it, and not have any fear, because God loves you. You're a child of God. And God wants the best for you. The end times. A scary time. Especially if you don't know God. But God does know you. So, with that, this is Jory Prosen, JCCS, and podcast number 8. Thank you for joining us. And God bless you richly. Thank you for being part of our podcast, The Way It Is. We're so thankful to have you join us today. Until next time, take care, and may God richly bless you and your life. In Jesus Christ's name. Bye for now.